welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, everybody. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you've reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. How are you? How am I is that I am freaking stressed out this morning, and I'm only telling you this because it's really hard not to tell you the truth. And I sit here and say, I'm telling you guys to tell the truth. So I'm stressed out. I'm moving. Moving is stressful. Anyone out there ever packed up their shit and moved? Yeah, it's not easy. But in any case, today I'm talking to a woman. Her name is Caitlin Murray. And she is the perfect person to speak to when you're stressed out because she will make you laugh. She is a digital creator. She has an Instagram account called Big Time Adulting. And I don't remember how I first came across Caitlin's work, but I did. And I am on Instagram a lot because I have a large community there who I speak to and share with and create for at Nicole Sachs LCSW. If you're not there, come. There's so much good information. But I came across one of Caitlin's videos. So essentially, Caitlin is a mom. She's a mom of three. Her oldest son had leukemia when he was 3 years old. And I think, well, I know after talking to Caitlin, that after the experience, after the life-changing experience of shepherding your child through cancer, it changes your perspective on what you're allowed to do and say. I think it just infuses you with a bit of a fuck it attitude. I can say what I want. I can be who I want. I can do what I want because you know what? My kid almost died and he didn't. And I did what I needed to do to get myself and my family and my child through this. She also had like a small baby at the time, her daughter. And now she has another child. And so essentially what happened is that Caitlin made it through this, and she's super funny and smart and relatable and talented. And she's a great dancer, even though she says she's not such a great dancer. I think she's a really good dancer. And she makes these videos to help moms mostly, but people feel less alone and feel less burdened by the journal speak, which she didn't know it was journal speak when she was doing it, but the journal speak that lives in all of our minds, which is sometimes I can't do this anymore. Sometimes I hate this. Sometimes I don't want the life that I have, and it's okay to say it, and it's okay to laugh about it, and it's okay to dance it out, and it's okay to come back to your center and love, love, love your life because you've gotten that out because you're no longer spending all of your energy, as we always talk about here, keeping that proverbial beach ball underneath the water between your knees and doing everything else with your hands above the water, trying to live your life and dance as fast as you can. And what Caitlin reminds us, what I remind you, is that there are lots of ways to unburden ourselves while we still show up impeccably as our best selves. So I love her Instagram account. I love her message. And I love the way she has been living the life of journal speak out loud without even knowing it. So I'm going to share that interview with you guys today. And I'm going to also share a clip of one of the videos that inspired me to bring Caitlin on. So really enjoy this episode. To me, it's enjoyable. To me, her account is enjoyable. And just the idea that we have to lighten it up. You know, we can't just sit in our shit all the time. And trust me, at this moment in my life, I am really tempted to sit in mine. There's a lot going on for me and it's all very stressy. But you know what? I carry on because I know that there's journal speak and I know that there is lightening it with the appropriate humor and the appropriate of not taking myself so seriously, which is not always easy when I'm in my spaces, and I know it's not easy for you either. So just maybe take a moment and enjoy this today. I also want to let you know that my private membership community is open for enrollment. We had the most incredible first go with my first cohort, many of whom have chosen to stay, but there is room to join. If you would like to be in my membership community, get your questions answered by me daily on the community and every month with our 3-hour Zoom building community. Every month I do a separate hangout. We just hang out and on Zoom and I answer your questions, your personal questions. We get to know each other. It's really intimate. It's really amazing. And I've loved it so far. Go to thecureforchronicpain.com, which is my website. Scroll down a bit. You will see the private membership community. Once you sign up, you will have access to our private Facebook page and our community Zoom links. And it's just awesome. And I hope to meet you and to know you and to see you there. Okay. All right. Let's first do a clip of a video of, I mean, you're only going to hear the audio, but that Caitlin made. And we are going to follow up with that interview. I send you love and light and joy and understanding and compassion and empathy. I know it's hard. I know it fucking sucks sometimes. I know you're trying. So am I. We're in it together. Enjoy.
Look, I'm a good mom. Actually, I'm a great mom, and I know that, and I try really hard. But lately, with all of the chatter around scripted and gentle parenting, I start to feel like a little guilty, you know, because every now and again, I might just like lose the shit out of my shit at my house. You know what I mean? Because I'm like a normal human with a range of emotions. Like, I'm not just a robot who can always stick to the script down the center of the lane. You know, I might swerve out sometimes. Sue me. And frankly, I hope my kids grow up to be the exact same way, because I don't want them to be that person in like the boardroom or wherever it is who always has that like calm, firm voice that's like, thank you very much for your idea. I heard you, but we're not going to do that, because that's just like annoying. You know, sometimes you just want to like poke people like that in the eye. They're being fake. I'm like, just tell me what you really think. And by the way, I'm not saying go around being a total psycho, but I think it's important to be able to give off a little bit of that don't fuck with me right now energy when someone crosses the boundary or crosses a line. And I want my kids to know how to do it too. So sometimes I show them. There, I said it.
Hi, everybody. Today we are here with Caitlin Murray. Welcome, Caitlin.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me, Nicole.
I'm so thrilled to talk to you. So give you guys a tiny bit of background. I was just chilling out in Instagram one day. I actually have no idea how I found your account, but somehow I came across one of Caitlin's videos, and she has an account at Big Time Adulting on Instagram that gets a lot of attention. And I just became fascinated with the fact that I'm watching this woman and I'm clicking on her videos. And she, to me, is this living embodiment of journal speak. She is just fucking saying it. She's out there. She's talking about parenting. She's talking about how frustrating it is to be an adult. And she just is speaking the truth. And I learned a little bit about your background, Caitlin, but I really want to hear it from you. So I guess my first question is, how did you come to do this? I know you're oldest child had cancer. And I feel like that's a big part of your story. So maybe start there. And like, tell us how you decided to bring your message onto Instagram.
Yeah, sure. Well, it was kind of via the diagnosis of my son's leukemia. He was 3 years old when he was diagnosed with it's acute lymphoblastic leukemia. It's the most common form of childhood cancer. But of course, it's not common for your child to get cancer. So, yeah. It was, you know, an earth-shatteringly sad event for our family. And when he got sick, I decided to start writing about our experiences, his journey, my feelings about all of it, and placed it into like a blog space for family and friends to kind of read along and just get regular updates of where we were at. And at some point along the way, I was approached by a family friend who is in the editing world. And she sort of said, you know, would you be interested in me showing your blog to our publishers? And the publishers were like, well, this is fine, but she has no platform. So,
yes. Oh, I've heard that one.
Yeah. So I was like, what's a platform? And, you know, you need a following and that kind of thing. And I decided to start my Instagram page. And so I think, like, if truth be told, I think I always wanted to share more and share kind of the way that I do share. I mean, it's certainly not based around my experience with him as a mom of a child with cancer. That's not the premises of my page at all. But it pops up now every now and again when I like am talking about something more deep and heartfelt, because mostly it's humorous, but and real, I would say. But yeah. Anyway, that's kind of how it all came to light. And I think that going through that experience with him, sort of, I say this kind of phrase all the time that just it gave me the license to say whatever I wanted about motherhood.
Right. I love that. So Caitlin, I know that you're not super familiar with my work, but I think it's important that I tell you why I was so inspired to bring you on. So like kind of lead us into whatever it is that we will discuss here today. So, before we jumped on air, I gave Caitlin a little background about Journal Speak and about chronic pain and about what we're all talking about here on this podcast. But when I first went and saw Dr. Sarno and I was debilitated in chronic pain, I had already known about his work prior, but I had never really done the work. I had read his book and I had gotten myself to the point where I had two children, which I was told I would never have. But when my son was 10 months old, he was toddling around our deck. We were up in New York at the time. And there were just two steps between the deck and the driveway. And I'm like, he was in a walker. And I'm like, let me just pick it up and put it on the driveway so he doesn't go over the steps. And I lifted like the way they say, don't lift, even though now I've learned it doesn't freaking matter. But at the time, I lifted and I lifted not from my core or whatever the hell. And it felt like a hot knife was dragging through my back. It was the worst pain I've ever experienced in my life. And it sent me into a 1 year chronic pain spiral that left me so depressed. I was on every medication. I was getting electric stim treatments 3 times a week to my back, physical therapy, therapeutic massages, steroids, muscle relaxers, like it was crazy what I was doing and nothing was helping. And it was getting worse and worse. And it sort of crescendoed at the Rye Ridge Deli, which I don't know if you ever go there in Stanford. there's two. And I was trying to pay and there were those little like gummy bears and chocolate covered pretzels and everything just at the eye height of a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And my kids were just like taking it and like shaking it and making such a fucking stir. And I was trying to pay with the diaper bag. I know, like I can see Caitlin's face. You can't, like she's relating to this. and I got to the car and I couldn't get my kids in the car. My back had seized up so severely that I had one hand on each wrist of these two toddlers and I literally couldn't get them in the car. And I just stood there paralyzed and just sobbed. Like it was strangers. I wasn't pathetic enough to like scream to a stranger. Like it didn't feel, I just stood there and I just cried for like my failure and my inability to parent and like my life that was destined to be miserable. Like it was a really, really dark moment. And when I finally somehow got them in the car and home and bath and bed, and I sat on, and everyone knows this if they've heard my story, but I sat on my bed and I looked out my window, like sort of stars and trees, and said, I surrender. Like, mess with me, don't mess with my kids. Like, what do I need to do? And it brought me back to Dr. Sarno. It brought me back to the work. I said, I know what's going on here. This is TMS. This is a mind-body interaction. There's nothing physically wrong with me, but it feels like there is. Like the tagline of my work is the pain is not in your head, but the solution is not in altering your physical body. Like it's about understanding what our brain can do to us when it thinks that we need protection. It can shut us down. And, you know, one of the things when people don't understand it, I'm like, well, if your baby is caught underneath a car, a mother or a father can lift that car off their baby. Adrenaline and cortisol, it has been documented. The brain can do anything it thinks we need to protect us. This is the same process. So it sent me back to Dr. Sarno. But what I relate to when I watch your videos and I look at your account, Caitlin, is that when I finally understood what I needed to do, which was bring my repressed emotions from the unconscious to the conscious space, and I started doing the journaling, and I didn't know I created Journal Speak, it didn't exist yet. I was just journaling about motherhood. And what I said, well, I'm tired and I have two children that were born under the age of two. So right now I have two kids in cribs, two kids still in diapers. I'm tired. I'm wrung out. I'm lonely. You know, my ex-husband was working all the time. I felt alone. I didn't want to be married to the babysitter. You know, I wanted a partner. And I was writing that, and I just had this moment, which I guess I can call a spiritual awakening. And the voice said, "You're lying." And I was like, "No, I'm not. Like, this is the truth. This is my life." And the voice said, "Do you think your nervous system would be creating debilitating pain to the point where you barely walk because you're tired and you have two kids in diapers? Like, what is going on?" And the first line of journal speak ever penned that rose from my disgusting depths of my soul was, "I hate being a mother." And it was so ugly and so dirty. And nobody was, I didn't even think Instagram existed at the time, but like nobody was talking like this. Nobody was saying it's okay to freaking hate it. It's okay. It doesn't mean you're hateful. It doesn't mean you're going to hate it 5 minutes from now. It means you have to tell the truth. You have to be, you have to be what you are. You can't fight. You can't decide what you are. You can't fight it. And I did it. It was so horrible. It was so ugly to me to say it. And I started writing, and I wrote, "I hate it. I hate my daughter. She doesn't look like me. She looks like my ex. She yells in my face. She's not, I didn't have the right baby." And then I moved right to my parents. Fuck those people. And they ruined me. And they made me think that if I just had the perfect family, it would heal my wounds from childhood, you know, screw them. And then it moved on to myself, this self-loathing, disgusting, hateful. What are you, weak? What, can't you be a parent? Everybody does it. Everyone in the world, you can't do it. You know, it went on and on and on. And I purged and I purged and I purged. And I just like stopped caring. It was kind of like you said, when your son was diagnosed with cancer, I was just like, I'm in so much pain. I'm almost on disability. I can say anything I want. And nobody was saying it out loud, so I was just saying it to myself. So the punchline here, Caitlin, is that I woke up the next morning and about 80% of my pain was gone, never to return. Over the next 2 months, I journal spoke about everything. I got it out. I got it out. I accepted it. I self-soothed. Obviously, you know, everyone listening to me is like, "Yeah, Nicole, we know all the things," but like, it's so important that if anyone is listening, doesn't know the story. And I've been chronic pain free for almost 20 years. And as things have come up, you know, I got the headaches and it moves around. And I was like, I know what to do. And I obviously trained as a therapist and I credentialed and I teach this all over the world. And I'm saying to you that you are part of the solution, because it's not all delivered through me, who is like pretty serious and passionate. And I write books and I teach and I travel and I do retreats. It's everywhere. It's comedy. It's truth. It's people like you who are wanting and willing to be out there and to like say it like it is. So now that you understand why I was so attracted to like what you're doing, why don't you tell me a little bit about what it feels like and what you're like, you obviously aren't doing it to keep people from chronic pain. You just heard of this today. So like, what are you doing and what's your intention with your stuff?
Well, I mean, first of all, that story is just fucking amazing. I mean, I am so fascinated. And I also just had the question, is it like with journal speak, do you have to say it to somebody else or can you just say it to yourself?
Yes. Yes. That's the magic and the beauty, because brain science works in terms of our perception. So your nervous system only has your conscious and unconscious information that you give it to know whether you're safe or not. So for example, I'm sitting here in my home office. I don't think there's a prowler in my house, but if I did right now think there was a prowler in my house, my whole body would be doing the same thing, whether there was a prowler or not. I would have the same changes in respiration, the same changes in heartbeat. My mouth would be dry. I wouldn't be hungry. I wouldn't need to go to the bathroom, right? Digestion would shut down. I would be getting ready to fight, fly, or freeze. Mm-hmm. That's why you only need to say it to yourself. That's why journal speak is such a magical tool, because you don't have to confront anyone or change your life. You just need to move things from the unconscious to the conscious mind so that your body stops defending against it by giving you all these pain and conditions and stuff to like slow you down and keep you away from predators, which are usually other people.
Yeah. Well, that's also scary too, because once you say it out loud and admit it at least to yourself, then you might need to make some changes in your life too, right? In order to, I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. You know, that's funny. That was the number one question that I used to get when I would lecture at NYU with Dr. Sarno. You know, well, like people would raise their hand and say, well, my boss is my trigger. I know I hate my job, but if I sit and tell myself this enough, I'm going to have to quit my job and I can't live without this salary. And what Dr. Sarno would get up and say is, if you want to be out of pain, all you have to do is move these repressed feelings from the unconscious space to the conscious space so your nervous system and your brain stop protecting and distracting you with the things that you are suffering with. And I'll tell you, Caitlin, from personal experience, because I was a private practice therapist for many years, believe it or not, people who are suffering in any sort of a way are so thrilled to not be suffering, to circumvent this brain science and this process. I have people who, they have to say, I hate my husband. I hate my husband. I hate him. I'm unhappy. I don't like the sex. I don't like the relationship. Like, they have to say it. And then they get to the place where journal speak actually changes and they've come to more compassion for themselves and they found a way to get more emotionally connected to their partner. And then the sex actually gets better. And then like, and then they don't. So it's not always that simple, but I get that impulse that you say, because a lot of people would initially fear that.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I've got, okay, now I'm going to listen to all your episodes. So I guess for me, I sometimes feel like I'm lucky because I can say all of these truths under a guise of something really humorous, which takes the edge off for people, you know, like they're relieved because it's funny.
Yes.
And it's okay to laugh at some of the shit that goes on a day-to-day basis that is, you know, really honestly, truly very challenging for mothers and parents and women. So I guess like, I think these are the things that I felt throughout like the baby and toddler years, the shock that I felt like after becoming a mother for the first time, not feeling the way I had anticipated feeling before the baby arrived, about the baby, about the bond with the baby, all of that shit.
Yes.
How much I hated the newborn phase, how much I hated pregnancy, how much I don't like toddlers that much. I don't better than babies and newborns because they can like talk a little bit and you could joke with them a little bit. But yeah, they're a pain in the ass, you know, they're very cute. Thank God for that. But, it's just, these are all things that I felt the whole way through. And then when my son got sick, I was like going through so much with him, taking it all on, just there for him, being, you know, the nurse, the caretaker, one foot in front of the other every day. So grateful for his health, you know, everything that he went through was so hard for him and us. But that after that, I was like, I don't fucking care what anyone thinks about what I say about
motherhood
or otherwise, basically. I know who I am as a mother. I know how strong I am as a mother. And that's pretty much, I think, where I got like the gall to just say things however I wanted to say. People tell me a lot, thank you so much for thinking everything that I, or saying everything that I'm thinking, but don't want to say out loud. And at this point in my life, I almost think it's funny that people wouldn't say stuff like that out loud. I'm like, why wouldn't you say it? It's the truth. Who cares? It's totally normal, you know?
Yeah. And I think that that's both of us having our privilege of being people living on the East Coast. And I'm sure the West Coast could say the same. The only reason I'm calling out the coast, and there's no hate, no shade for any other place in the world, it's just that there seems to be, I have found in my work, there's like a politeness to certain areas of the country that I feel like as a New Yorker, and I know that Caitlin's also in New York, at least as we speak, like we tend to sometimes be like, what's the big deal? Like, say it. But I will tell you, in my years and years of working with people, it's a big deal. People are terrified to say it, you know? And that's why I got in touch with you, because the more people I see out there saying it and leading by example and allowing there to be humor. And that's why I mentioned your son's sickness at the beginning of the podcast, because I figured there was a freedom that came with that. Yeah. With that, like, you know, well, I've lived through hell and now whatever, You know, it's like, I'm going to do it. And like, that's what people need. Because, you know, one of books that's had an effect on me that I read is a book called Grit by Angela Duckworth. I don't know if you've heard of it. There is one part in the book where she talks about this guy, and he's a big executive, and he is invited to, I think, I'm just going to screw this up, but something along the lines of his niece's wedding across the country. And he's a big executive, and he's like, I can't possibly go, you know, I can't take a week out of the office, blah, blah, blah. He gets diagnosed with terminal cancer. And then of course he's like, F it all. Who cares if I miss a few days? I'm obviously going to my niece's wedding. Family is everything, you know, and he ends up, after getting a 6-month, like whatever they say, you have 6 months, you know, to live. Mm-hmm. He ends up, through completely dropping all of these, you know, this politeness and this necessity to please others. I think years later, when she was reporting on this, like, he was still alive. And like, so I guess the goal is to have the cancer effect without the cancer for people, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, God knows. I lived through this horrifying physical diagnosis. You've lived through horrifying child's diagnosis. We don't want everybody to have to live through that to get to the place where they can speak their truth, you know? So that's why I think it's so important to talk about it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I will admit, like, every time I post something that has like an edge of controversy attached to it or that sort of thing, I do get like a little blip of anxiety about what the feedback will be or that kind of thing. But I think I'm at the point now where I have so much validation through the community of the platform that I've built over the years of doing this, that I probably give less fucks than ever before.
That's so good. So I'm going to, as part of this podcast, put in a couple clips of your videos so people actually can hear from your own voice what it sounds like when you give us all advice to, you know, kind of take it easy on ourselves and get a snack or something like that. But can you tell me a little bit, in terms, if you can, of like some of the things that you've dealt with that you feel like are important for people to say or feel or relieve themselves of in any way?
Yeah, I think for me, honestly, a lot of the guilt or like the challenges that I've faced as a mom stem from a societal construct that I think I felt like I should fit into and fulfill and achieve and be really good at as a mother. And, you know, this sort of aiming towards perfection right out of the gates, thinking that would be the way I would mother before I really mothered, you know, like prior to my kids being born. And then getting to this realization that, holy shit, this is like so hard. This is so much harder than I anticipated it to be. And I don't think that many people have told me that.
Right.
You know, that I should expect it to be like really difficult. And maybe I wouldn't have heard it like before I was in it anyway. So that's fair enough. But I think just that shock of not being the mother that I think that I thought that I would be. And then coming to the realization that's every mom in so many ways, and that's fine. And we should all not be worried about what everyone else is doing or what we thought society wanted us to do as mothers, and just honor what we bring to the table as individuals, as the mother of your children.
Yes, 100%. And I, of course, if everyone listening to this knows, I'm constantly talking about mothering. Caitlin and I have the same amount of children, a little different breakdown. You have two boys and a girl, right?
Yeah. Boy, yeah. Girl, boy.
And I have girl, boy, girl.
Yeah.
But you know, we both understand the, vicissitudes of life and what it takes to be with these little people. I mean, personally, one of my greatest shocks, this is going to sound so hilarious and so naive, was that like children were their own people. They weren't just like creations of me, of mine. Like I thought, like if you parent a certain way, and if you're kind, and if you listen in a certain way, and like if you do a certain bedtime routine, or like you offer a certain nutritional value, or whatever the hell, that like you would get this kid. Like it was the effort. And it's so funny because I believe in the nature and nurture. I believe there's an interaction. And now that I've had three children, I believe that it's almost 100% nature. And yes, there is nurture involved. There is a lot of nurture involved. We can screw up our kids if we are horrible to them. But my God, my three children are the three most different people. And they have all been parented by me and their father and whomever else has of my village that has parented them. And they are so different. Have you found that in parenting?
Yes, 100%. They are each their own person. So much so. And I would say with my son, my oldest, he really was such a textbook kid. Like you do certain things and this is the outcome, like you're saying, exactly like that. And he really was developmentally, behaviorally, all of this stuff as pretty fucking close to perfect as I could have imagined. And then my daughter came along and challenged the hell out of me.
Yes.
And that was at a time, like she was 1 year old when he was diagnosed. So to be dealing with him in treatment and a challenging toddler situation was a really tough period of time for me because we were stuck home all of the time together. And so she was completely different from him. And then my third, my little guy, is also totally a wacko and his own person too. So, but they're all great. I mean, I love them all.
Of course. I mean, it's actually makes it so much more interesting than you ever realized it could be. But that's why I really appreciate what you said about like not holding ourselves to that level of perfection and not requiring ourselves to be so rigorous and self-critical when things don't go the way we want, because we're not just working with a ball of clay. We're working with people that are born with a nature and sensitivities and proclivities to certain behaviors. And it's just a wild ride. And if you can learn to flow with it, it's a lot less, you have a lot less need to repress your emotions, which is of course what I work with.
Yeah, for sure. And to also like detach your ego from the outcome of what each kid is, right? Like, because they are their own person. And while they are in lots of ways a reflection of you, they don't belong to you, you know, they're themselves and stuff. So it's hard though, because I think that's a point of insecurity for a lot of parents, like the way kids act out in public or that kind of thing. Like every toddler has a tantrum. Every, you know, 5-year-old acts like an asshole every now and again and hits somebody or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're all in the same boat, but they're just, I think that everyone feels judged, really judged as parents.
Yeah. And we judge ourselves. So we pile on.
It's the kind of thing where it's like, you don't judge the dad that often. The mom is the one who gets the judgment.
So true. It's so true. And we do that to ourselves. So there was one of your videos, I think I mentioned this to you before we hopped on, where you, and what really caught my eye and got me to reach out to you and ask you onto the podcast, you were talking about how if you're like really having the worst day and you're super in it with your kids, to walk out of the room and like, I don't exactly know what you said, something like either pretend they're dead or pretend you're never going to see them again. So can you talk about that with us? Because I feel like what you said in that video really resonated for me.
Yes. I said that, like, you know, when all hell is breaking loose at your house and like, you know, the shit's piling up around and your kids are up your ass, just like exit the room, take a minute, seriously contemplate what it would be like to actually leave your family. Let it sink in and let it bring you to tears because you know you'd actually be miserable without them. And then get back out there and resume your role as CEO of your little dickheads.
Right.
Laugh it off and get a snack.
Right.
So that was almost word for word what it was, but people have loved that because it's like, I think a validating moment for any parent who's been at the point where they're about to fucking totally lose their shit and be like, oh my God, this is crazy town. We all feel this way. Let's laugh it off kind of thing.
Yes. Yes. I love it. And that's another reason why I was attracted to your content, because I don't do very much laughing it off. I mean, I'm me, you're hearing me, you're seeing me, I'm dropping the F bomb. I'm definitely like always being really relatable and sharing my own life. But like, I do stuff that's pretty serious. And to bring in somebody who is like really honestly doing a great job of making it funny is really, really important, because we have to take ourselves less seriously. Like, yeah. I was interviewing a woman yesterday. She'll be on the podcast at some point in the future. And she was, Caitlin, she had everything, everything. She had every symptom that you can even imagine for 13 years. And it was not funny. I mean, she was vomiting constantly. She had headaches so bad she couldn't get out of bed. She had muscle tremors. She had neurological symptoms. She couldn't find words in her head. Like, she couldn't locate words that she wanted to say. Every pain you could, I mean, it was, she's telling me the story and she's out of it now. I mean, she's done my work and she's completely symptom free. And it's one of these really beautiful success stories that anyone listening to this podcast as we speak will have already heard. And at one point she was talking very dark, like how she just didn't actually at one point think she could go on. She had two children herself and she just felt like, I can't live this way. And as we were talking about it, I have comedic moments because I have been there. I have been the chronic pain patient. I have also been the therapist for people over many, many years. And I said, my God, honey, I'm ready to dig the hole and get in with you. Like, and we laughed because like you have to sometimes, at least in retrospect, like when you're looking back on a crazy journey, be like, holy shit. Yes. Who could deal with that? You know, sign me up, get the shovel. Like, let's go 6 feet under. Like but you have to have levity at some point, because if we can't laugh at ourselves, we'll cry all the time.
Yeah. I mean, to be able to bring humor to a difficult situation is like a gift. If anyone can like, help you laugh through a hard time, it's just like, thank God we can laugh about this a little bit. Right. We just, it's otherwise it's just, it is too heavy.
Yeah.
Yes. About it too much. Right.
So, that was one video that I recall, but are there any other like kind of messages that you have that have been, really well received by your audience that like you could maybe share here, kind of like that, like little perspective shifts and things that might help people when they're getting too serious?
Yeah. You know, I think like another message that's kind of like really resonating with me right now is that like the internet and Instagram and social media is a place where you are so over inundated with like information and advice, and to a point where I think it can be like more toxic than helpful for people, because they're overthinking everything. And whether or not like the people offering advice or whatever help and information are completely well-meaning, I am sure, but the consumption of all of that information makes people go crazy, like with their overthinking every interaction with their children and all of that stuff, and probably putting more pressure on themselves to achieve this level of like, you know, fake level of perfect parenting.
Yeah.
Thinking that they're messing their kids up every day. And I'm just kind of like, you know what? Everyone's fucked up, guys. Get over it. You know?
Right.
Like, everyone should go to therapy at some point. We're all fucking our kids up a little bit along the way. Don't worry about it so much. You're a good person, you know, just keep on keeping on, but just like, don't let all of that fucking noise cloud your mind to the point where you're constantly feeling overwhelmed or anxious or guilty or shameful about interactions you've had with your children throughout the day or whatever it is, or throughout their lives or things like that.
One of the things that was so fun for me in the pandemic was watching everybody figure out how to tell the truth about parenting when they're stuck in the house with their kids for months and years. And one of my favorite things that Glennon Doyle put out was this video, and it was called Screen Time is All the Time.
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
I didn't, but like totally. I say that too to parents. Like when my son was sick, like all bets were off on trying to limit screen time and that kind of thing. I was like, you want to watch Mickey Mouse Clubhouse till the cows come home today? What? Go for it.
Right.
Whatever floats your boat, buddy. And you know, I think it affects different kids in different ways and stuff, but you have to do what works for you.
Yes. Yes. And then, and you know, there's a concept in Buddhism called the second arrow that I talk about a lot, in my philosophical musings. And it just means like the first arrow is like the problem. Okay. So like the first arrow is your kid is having a tantrum, or the first arrow is, you know, something serious, like your kid is really sick, or something really not serious, like you're late for an appointment. Okay. That's the first arrow. The second arrow is you're a piece of shit. Get it together. Everybody's looking at you. Like, we don't have to sling the second arrow at ourselves. You know, that's a good message.
Yeah. My mom says something similar. She says, put the stick down.
Right.
Stop beating yourself up. You're a good person. You're a great mom, you know, stuff like that. So I just love that. It's just like, everybody's so hard on themselves all the time, and we're all our own worst critics. Right. And I think it's just that we all can take a deep breath and not have to worry about achieving some unrealistic version of, you know, beauty and copacetic love, happiness, perfection within our homes all the time. It's like chaos and disorder is kind of a given, you know. Yes. Like, we're all in the midst of an ongoing shit show doing the best we can.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, Caitlin, thank you so much for coming on and talking with me today about this. I really appreciate your perspective.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I love getting to know you.
Great. Me too. And I will tell you guys, if you're looking to everyone in my community, if you're looking to lighten it up a little bit, especially if you're a parent, but even if you're not, go over to @BigTimeAdulting and check out Caitlin's content. It makes me laugh every day. And also, she's a really freaking good dancer. So like, you could enjoy that. Like, did you like dance like in your life?
Good is a very gratuitous way to describe my dance. I would say like uninhibited.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So she dances the way I want you to journal speak. Just like she is dancing like no one's watching and everyone's watching and she does not care. And that is, and also, honey, you don't look stupid. So just, I will tell you that.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome.
I appreciate that.
All right, guys. Well, it's been so fun talking to you, Caitlin. And I hope everybody got a little nugget of wisdom out of that. And really, I think Caitlin and I could probably agree. What we want to say is, don't be so hard on yourself. Be nice, right?
Amen.
Be nice to you. Be nice to you. You're the only you you've got. And also, the nicer you are to you, the nicer you will want to be to your kids, because you won't be defending against so much self-loathing. And so that is definitely the message for today.
Yes.
And it's a good message. So for everyone out there, if you are enjoying the podcast, please jump over to iTunes and rate and review it. It really helps people find the podcast. And I know so many people do need it. And until next week, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast. And I will see you then. Bye-bye.